Welcome to Seek Reality with Roberta Grimes. Joyous conversations about what the afterlife evidence and modern science combine to tell us is true about our one reality. You have nothing to fear. You are eternal and you are perfectly loved. Knowing the truth changes everything. Now, here's Roberta.
In all my decades of doing afterlife research, there were broad areas of interesting information that I steered away from investigating because they didn't seem to bear directly on the topic at hand. I was wrong, of course. They all did. But you can only study so many things at a time. But two of the areas that I really avoided were any form of energy healing and also trying to understand physical mediumship. Now I'm trying to fill in the gaps in my education and also in yours. Welcome to Seek Reality. I'm Roberta Grimes. Our guest today is the wonderful Gary Mannion. He's a young Australian and a great friend of our dear, wonderful friends, Victor and Wendy Zammit. Gary is both what he calls a psychic surgeon, I love that term, and a developing physical medium. And I cannot wait to hear what he has to tell us. Welcome, Gary. I'm so glad you're here.
Thanks for having me.
Gary, I'm not even sure where to begin. Tell me how this started for you. Have you always had psychic gifts?
So apparently I used to see and talk to people that weren't there from about the age of two. For me personally, though, I have no memory of anything before the age of 13. And my very first
memory of anything before the age of 13?
That was a complete blank.
That is strange. I've never heard of that. Do you know why?
There's different theories, but my one is I must have found the first lesson years too boring.
Oh my! Well, that's a good reason. Well, so what happened when you were 13?
So when I was 13, my dad took me to the local spiritualist church in London. And while I was there, I saw the medium tune in, and I heard a voice in my head saying, "You can do that." So, of course, being 13, hearing voices in my head, I thought, yeah, I'll give it a go.
Yes.
And that started me off with the kind of psychic mediumship pathway. And then as time went by, I would do friends readings and strangers readings, the usual kind of stuff. And then when I was 18, I was invited to Manchester to teach some psychic development. So while I was there, the group I was working with already did a form of spiritual healing. And they asked me, did I want to take part? And you know, at the time I thought, well, put your hands on someone, let the energy come through. What harm can it do?
What harm can it do?
So I said, sure, I'll give it a go. So we had this woman lying on the couch and I was instructed to work on her stomach. So I went to start and all of a sudden I felt this very strong presence behind me and these hands going into her stomach. And I started seeing what looked like mold to me.
Wait, let me understand. Your hands started going into her stomach?
I could feel and see additional hands going in.
Additional hands? We've got, oh my word, all right.
And start pulling out what to me looked like mold, this rotten food. So I said to her afterwards, look, this is probably going to make no sense, but I saw this moldy stuff getting pulled out of your stomach. And she said, actually, it makes perfect sense. Every now and then I have to go to the hospital to get the stuff removed when it goes all moldy. So I thought, okay, strange, but I'll go with it.
Yeah, what the heck?
From then on, whenever I would do healing, I would see these hands go in and in a sense, operate.
So these hands are coming from where? From behind you?
An extension of my own hands. So I can feel my physical hands on the body and I can feel what they're doing. But at the same time, I can feel like an extension of another hands going into the body and I can see and feel what they're doing.
Oh, wow.
Who said men can't multitask, eh?
Yes. That's one form of multitasking. And did this help her then when you did this?
To be honest, I don't know what became of her. She was my first ever client.
We wish her well.
Yeah, I'm sure she's nice and well. But from then I started being scientifically documented by the Scottish Society of Psychical Research and another organisation called PRISM, which also does psychical research. So they researched me for 5.5 years. And through them, we have a 90% success rate.
90%?
So not better than the NHS.
No. Wow. Well, so what kinds of things were you working on then?
literally a bit of anything and everything. Anything physical, mental, emotional, we would work with. And we work with a basis that, you know, every problem that you've got has its physical, has its trigger, and has its root. And if we don't treat all those three areas, the condition is either not going to go or it's going to come back.
Physical, trigger, and root?
Yeah. So, example, if we take a woman who, say, has breast cancer. So the physical would be the cancer itself and how it's affecting the body. It may have been triggered 2 years ago when her partner left her or cheated on her, that emotional shock. But the root of the problem may be that she's inherited it from her mother. So she's always carried it in her cells. It just took that emotional shock to start it off.
Oh my goodness. That's really what happens when people get cancer?
That's just one example of what could be behind that.
Wow.
And obviously everyone is completely different and their physical triggers and roots are going to be very different as well.
So your experience has been that you're about 90% successful?
Under that testing, yeah, we showed a 90% success rate under the testing.
That's amazing. And so they didn't need surgery?
No. So the research, I think, showed that 52% of the people we treated only ever needed one treatment. A further 38 sometimes needed a second or third treatment, depending on the condition. All the symptoms, and 10% fell into, they didn't get the result they were looking for.
I think that's really wonderful. Why is this not, is this a very rare skill that you have?
Within the Western world, it's not so known about. So, I mean, we call it a psychic surgery because that's the way it's being conned within the Western world, but it should be known as spiritual surgery. So my main surgeon, Abraham, he would say it's not psychic surgery because it's not psychic. He knows what he's doing. It's just the spirit doing operations.
Okay.
If we look at somewhere like Brazil or the Philippines, there it's a lot more known. It's more widely practiced. And out there, we're allowed to actually cut skin.
Your psychic surgeon is named Abraham. Is this your guide?
Yeah. So he would call himself the main surgeon. So he's got a team of different surgeons working with him, but he oversees it all.
But he's your personal guide, essentially.
Or
is he your primary spirit guide? I'm very into spirit guides now. I just have met and begun to work with mine. So is this Abraham someone who has joined you after you began to do this work? Or is he like your primary guide for all purposes?
No, so his main job is the healing. I have obviously different guides for things like physical mediumship.
Sure.
But yeah, when it comes to the healing, he's the boss.
Oh, my word. He seems to be good at it, too. Yes, I'd say he's very good at it. So how much of this do you do now?
Psychic surgery. So within the UK, I have about 28 clinics. I'm based mainly in Australia now, so I'll do a month in Australia, then I tour for a month around Europe and other countries. I've been to most of the world. It keeps me very busy. We're doing about maybe, say, 100 clients a week.
Oh my goodness, you alone do that?
Yeah, it keeps me, I mean, comparing it to other psychic surgeons in Brazil, Philippines, such as, any of the big psychic surgeons in Brazil, they can sometimes do 100 a day.
Oh, well, all right. That's kind of overwhelming. So it must be very quick then. So someone comes to you, they have a presenting complaint. They've been diagnosed with cancer, for example, and they go to one of these many clinics that you're affiliated with. Yeah. And what's the process then?
So we'll do an initial chat, kind of what's going on. What do you feel? What are you aware of? We'll then get them on the couch. We'll start working. So for me, a session takes about 10-15 minutes. While I'm working, I can talk, I can explain what I'm feeling, what's going on, and then you're done. Comparing it to other psychic surgeons, most psychic surgeons take about 2 or 3 minutes. It's a very quick,
but
very
minutes.
Yeah.
It's so why are you slow?
That's my excuse. I'm still young.
that's amazing. When you say that you tell them what you're feeling, are your hands feeling what these Abraham's hands are feeling?
Yeah, so I can see and feel exactly what he's doing when he's working inside the body. Which can be a little bit gruesome at times, but after years of practice, you get used to it.
Well, I have to admit to being flabbergasted, and it's very hard to flabbergast me at this point, Gary. Wendy has been singing your praises to me. I can certainly see why.
Thank you very much.
Now, if you so this is for cancer, for that sort of really bodily illness. What about something like a psychological problem? Do you treat those too?
Yeah. So, first of all, our belief is, you know, prevention is always better than cure. If we can prevent something before it becomes physical, then great. We should always teach it. We should always treat it. But I'm also a strong believer that anything physical is the last stage in an emotion we've not dealt with, or an energetic imbalance that we've not dealt with. So we work a lot with people who have emotional things and chemical things. It doesn't always have to be a physical pain or ache.
So someone who is depressed or has a substance abuse problem or something would go to you to have those issues done?
From a legal point of view, in a lot of countries, we're not allowed to treat things like depression, but there's no harm in treating the person themselves. If their depression gets better, then it wasn't our intention necessarily.
Oh, it was an accident. Okay. That's great. Well, I'm glad you stay on the good side of the law. Why can't you treat depression if you're treating cancer?
Yeah, again, with cancer, again, we can't make any claims towards that just because the laws are very weird in some countries. You know, in Brazil, I could go and cut skin, and as long as I use a sterilized needle afterwards, my hands can be dirty, the equipment can be dirty, whereas in other countries, some parts of America, I couldn't even shake someone's hand because I could be arrested for practicing medicine without a license.
Oh, my goodness. Leave it to us.
Yeah.
Yeah, if we can possibly make it harder to be a person in this country, we certainly will make an effort to do that. Well, is this, do you think you still have a 90% success rate? Are you hearing from people afterwards that they've been cured?
Yeah, I mean, I'm much more likely to hear from somebody who doesn't get a result than by somebody who does. Often when someone's better, they kind of forget all about it and I don't hear from them.
Oh, that's sad. That's too bad. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I would say it's probably still around that mark. You know, about 90% of the people I'm seeing are coming back with good results or not needing to come back.
Gary, how do they find you? I mean, do you advertise on the internet or is this referral? Or how do people find you who might be interested in trying what you do?
Most people who come to me come through word of mouth. You can go to GaryMannion.com or add Gary Mannion on Facebook, and that kind of lists what we're doing, where we're doing it.
I should just say Gary. It's Gary, GaryMannion.
Yes.
So there's two N's in the middle, just to remember that. So you have a website with your name on it.
Yeah, just GaryMannion.com.
Okay. All right. Well, that's pretty easy then. They can find you just fine.
Yeah, and that kind of lists everywhere we are, what we're doing, things like that.
Okay. I've ignored this whole area of because it wasn't directly bearing on the afterlife, and that was my big interest. Sure. I've kind of ignored it. And now I find this whole thing fascinating. How does it feel when this is happening? Can you feel what's going on inside the body? Are you, your fingers?
Yeah, so my physical hands to me feel like pins and needles. So if your hands have ever fallen asleep on you, it's that kind of feeling.
Because they're energy. They're full of energy then.
Yeah. So I kind of, a lot of psychic surgeons when they work go into a deep trance. My case, if I'm honest, I'm too nosy. Kind of from shoulders down, they're in control. The rest of me is awake and aware of what's going on. So my hands feel like pins and needles. At the same time, I see and feel these other hands go in. And to me, they feel very physical. Depending on what they're working on, you know, if you're working with one of the organs, there's often a lot of fluid around the organs or thick membranes, which can be a bit gruesome.
I'll say. Well, how do you know what you're doing? There's something going on here. How, you're not seeing what you're doing. How do your hands know what to do?
It is like being in two places at once. So I can see what's going on and it's clear what I can see and I can feel it. I'm not medically trained. All my kind of knowledge has come from all the years of working with Abraham, really, and him talking me through what he's doing, why he's doing it.
Amazing. When did you meet him? How did you meet him? He wasn't always in your life?
No. So when I was 18, I was in Manchester. I never had an interest in healing. I used to personally find the idea of healing boring, if I'm honest. Never something I wanted to get into. I loved the mediumship, but wasn't interested in the healing. So literally it came out of the blue. You know, he found me, really. And I much prefer healing now to mediumship, personally.
How did he find you? I mean, did he just appear and say, "Hi, I'm Abraham"?
Yeah, literally, as I went to heal this woman, I saw these hands go in. And to begin with, he would kind of come and go. Whenever I would do healing, I would just feel this presence come in. And then eventually one day he started to talk to me and said, "You know, I'm Abraham. This is what I need to do." And it's kind of just developed over the years, really.
Do you have psychics in your family? Is this because it often does run in families. I'm trying to understand how you could have these gifts.
I definitely come from a family that has voices, but whether or not they're spirit, I'm not sure.
Oh, so it could be something else. Okay.
My family is a Irish background, so they'd have been very strict Catholic. So it's possible that it was there, but never really talked about.
Yeah, it was suppressed. Oh, that is very interesting. And are there others who do what you do? A lot of them?
There's a lot of people I know of that claim to do psychic surgery. And whereas they are doing healing, I wouldn't necessarily class it as psychic surgery or as intense as psychic surgery. In Europe, I could probably name a handful. Mainly it's Brazil, Philippines that you want to go to find the majority of them.
This is what John of God is doing, right?
Yeah, I spent a couple of weeks working out there with him. That was an amazing experience.
What's he like in person? For people who don't know about John of God, I would just Google him and learn about him. He's sort of a legend.
If you go to YouTube, you can see him doing surgeries as well.
He's very famous, and there are people who swear he has transformed their lives. But from what you're saying, you're doing what he does.
Yeah, so it's very similar work. The only difference is I have Abraham, who has the team working with him, and his guides instead have time slots. So you could go in on a Tuesday with a bad back, and he'll tell you to come back on Thursday when a particular spirit is working.
Oh, really? Oh, dear.
So, you're not so
kind course. Of better to have one all-purpose guy, wouldn't you think?
Yeah, I mean, I prefer it that way.
Wow. Okay, well, I had sort of thought we would sort of get the psychic surgery part out of the way because this is my summer to try to understand physical mediumship. But I have to say, I am totally fascinated by what you're doing.
Thank you. Well, psychic surgery, we would class it under physical mediumship. It's a form of.
It is. That's interesting, too. So why is it a form? I think a physical mediumship is as someone goes into trance and he produces ectoplasm and people are walking around the room and there are trumpets with voices coming through them.
Yeah, that's one form. So that's the seance form. So the main difference between mental mediumship and physical mediumship, a mental medium is if spirit give you the energy and you interpret it and you work with it, you're a mental medium. If spirit use you as the medium, but they do all the work, they manipulate the energy how they want to, then you come into physical mediumship.
Okay. Oh, all right. Okay.
But what you're talking about is the kind of the standard seance or Victorian seances.
Victorian. Yeah. Well, they were much more common then than they are now.
Yeah. I mean, they're fascinating if you can get a good medium that works with it. Mainly done with a substance called ectoplasm, which is produced inside the medium's body. A lot of mediums now are working with what's called photoplasm, which is purely energy-based. It doesn't have to come from the medium.
Oh, all right, backing up a step. I have never heard of that.
Oh, really?
Tell me about photoplasm. Oh, yes, this is an area where I'm a complete greenie. So we are learning, our audience and I are learning from you together. What's photoplasm? And where did that idea come from? I've not heard of it.
So the traditional ectoplasm
So it's a substance which is produced inside a medium's body.
Yes.
Every human being can produce ectoplasm. It's part of our life force. Though physical mediums that work with it tend to have an abundance of it. Some research that we did on ectoplasm showed that if you look at ectoplasmic mediums of the past, they all tended to have a rare blood group. So there seemed to be some link between a rare blood group and producing a lot of ectoplasm.
Oh, how interesting. Okay. It comes from the spleen, right?
Yeah, it's made up from many cells from the spleen, the pancreas, pancreatic cells, things like that, skin cells, as well as one substance that hasn't been identified yet.
How fascinating. And I've heard that in some seances, some of the sitters are also producing it. Is that the case?
Not so much that they're producing it, but they are giving to the energy so it can be produced.
Huh. Wow. Fascinating. So what is this other kind of plasm you mentioned that was only energy-based?
Protoplasm. So with the Skoll experiments in the 1990s, they started to talk about this new energy. However, if you look at the history of physical mediumship, photoplasm actually shows up quite a lot. Photoplasm is energy which is taken from the medium, the sitters, and the environment, and other places on Earth. So it's completely energy-based. It can do everything that ectoplasm can. It's also been documented to show over 100 new types of phenomena. But the 100? Benefit of photoplasm... Yep, over 100 new types of phenomena.
For example, what's three of them? Not to put you on the spot, but 100 is a lot.
Experiments done with photographs still sealed in a case. I know that was one of them. They use a photoplasm a lot with materializations that you can't get with ectoplasm. They've also done things like producing light balls and things like that, which are purely energy-based.
Wow, wow. Okay, and is it different physical mediums who produce photoplasm? Or is any just about any physical medium able to do that?
The benefit with photoplasm is anyone can produce it.
Anyone? Oh, my goodness.
And it's very safe. If anything happened to the energy, it would just disperse. Whereas with ectoplasm, something went wrong with it, the medium would be seriously harmed.
Yeah, and we should just mention why that is. Photoplasm, to my understanding, is often very sensitive to light. So, ectoplasm. Yeah. So the ectoplasm is out in the room and being used to cloak spirits and stuff. The light turns on and it snaps back into the medium's body and actually has killed some mediums. When that happens.
Because of it.
Yeah. So, but this isn't the case with, does photoplasm need darkness too?
To begin with, again, just because light disperses energy very quickly. And that's one of the reasons why when spirits started introducing light, they start with red. Because of its wavelength, it didn't interfere with it. It didn't disperse the light so quickly.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
But as it gets more used to it, then you can introduce stronger light, more lights, things like that.
Just one final thought that I wanted to sort of finish up with the psychic surgery. How is this different from energy healing? Isn't energy healing sort of laying hands on people and your hands have the energy in it to kind of make them better, but you're not digging into the body and taking the cancer out?
The distinction we try and make between the two is if you were, say, ill and you needed to go to the doctor and take medication, then that we could relate to hands-on healing. So the healing is there to basically get your body back into balance so it can correct itself and get on with its normal routine.
Okay, I see.
However, we do get to stages where medication isn't enough and we sometimes need an intervention. And that's what we would then class psychic surgery as, where you've gone beyond the need of just a balancing. You actually need some manipulation to take place there, whether it be physically or spiritually or energetically.
Given that we are energy beings and everything is energy, aren't you frustrated that the medical profession still treats everything as if it were totally material and energy didn't affect it? I mean, what you're doing seems so much more efficient.
Yeah, and that was one of the reasons why we did the research, to document it. And so that, you know, we can get some intelligent medical people to take a look at it and actually do something with it.
Wow.
They'll come around. I mean, they've only just started to accept... stress causes problems, diet causes problems.
That's true. They're sort of in the Jurassic period at this point still.
Wow. And, you know, the first rule of medicine was meant to be first do no harm. And yet many doctors happily prescribe medication which has horrible side effects.
Yes.
And that's nothing against the doctor. But, you know, I did an experiment once with I was arguing with this doctor who said we don't just hand out antidepressants. So I went to my own doctor as an experiment and said, I'm feeling really depressed. And rather than ask me why, the doctor says, can you fill this questionnaire in? So I ticked all the worst boxes. And again, rather than ask me why are you feeling this way, the response was, we need to put you on antidepressants.
Oh, so you proved your point. Wow. Bruce Lipton, who's a wonderful quantum biologist, says that energy is about 100 times as effective at healing as a chemical is. I don't know where he gets that, but it's always struck me that 100 is a lot. an amazing difference. It's frustrating that doctors don't get that.
Yeah, and I mean, we are, as you said, we are all energy. In one form or another. And energy is the only thing within the physical world that can't be destroyed. It can change, but it can't be destroyed.
Yes.
So, yeah, as soon as doctors start to realize that actually we're more than just this chemical, that chemical, then I think we'll start to make great strides.
We will. We're going to pause just for a moment, and then I wanted to dive into the physical mediumship aspect of what you do. First, I'll just say, this is Seek Reality with Roberta Grimes. My nonfiction books are The Fun of Dying, Find Out What Really Happens Next, and The Fun of Staying in Touch. You can learn more about all my books and find my blog at robertagrimes.com. Now, our guest today is Gary Mannion. He's a young energy healer, originally from the UK, now living in Australia, and he's a developing physical medium. Actually, I said energy healer. I should say psychic surgeon, which is a lot more dramatic, and a developing physical medium. He's opening our minds to what is possible for us all. This is exciting. Now, please, let's tell me, how did you start doing the more traditional, what I think of as more traditional physical mediumship?
So I was good friends with a physical medium in the UK called Scott Milligan, a very good physical medium. And he used to constantly tell me that I needed to be sitting. And I kept putting it off, to be honest. and then one day he came and did a workshop at my house. So we already had the room blacked out because he did a seance. So after he left, I thought, okay, we'll sit, we'll give it a go, see what happens. And I had phenomena from the first time I sat.
Wow. Now, when you're saying, just for the audience, when you're saying sitting, you simply, you sit down, did you get bound to a chair or did you just go into trance?
Yeah, no. So I've been tied up since the beginning. so we get tied up into a chair, traditionally with cable ties. Which is mainly actually for the safety of the medium.
Yes.
And I would go into, say, a trance-like state, and from that spirit would then work with either ectoplasm or photoplasm to produce phenomena.
From the first time you sat, you had this sort of result. Wow, good for you. Well, who was with you? Did you have a little circle of friends who were there?
So some close friends who were all interested in physical mediumship. They'd all done the workshop with Scott and sat in his seance multiple times. They agreed to sit for me and give it a go.
What does it feel like when you do this? You sit down and do you put yourself into trance or does it just happen automatically?
It's actually hard to say because when we start, we'll normally play two songs for me to get into my trance state. And when I first started, I used to be able to hear the first song. Nowadays, before the seance, I'm doing the pre-seance talk, then I'm being searched, and then I'm being tied up, and they've all become triggers for my brain. So nowadays, by the time I'm tied up in the cabinet, I'm gone. So the last thing I can remember before a seance normally is being searched or even sometimes just the talk. From that point on, I can't tell you what happens. So I don't actually know what happens once I sit in that cabinet and I start to go, because I just can't remember afterwards.
Wow. Okay, that doesn't make you nervous? I mean, it seems very courageous what you're doing.
I always get nervous because something could always go wrong, whether intentionally or accidentally. And we have had accidents. I have been harmed before in the past. I always get nervous, but I have got a fantastic home circle, fantastic circle leader,
they kept me alive this long. So that helps me relax a little bit.
Well, I give you a lot of credit. You're very brave. So you go into trance. I should just mention also for listeners that what typically the rooms in which seances are held are completely blacked out. The light cannot enter, and they're carefully searched to make certain there's no way things can come in or leave. It's very important to keep things very secure. And then you go into a cabinet, which is like a almost a box, a large box that you can sit in, right?
Yep. So I 21st century, I use a pop-up tent.
Oh, you do?
They're portable. You can zip them up. But yeah, they're not too bad. So they work quite well.
And why is it? Why are you sealed into this pop-up tent? Why do you do that?
The idea of the cabinet is purely just an area for energy to build up, so that it can strengthen for when it's ready to come out of the cabinet. The other benefit of a cabinet, especially if you've got something like a wooden cabinet, is if you are ready to start introducing light, then the cabinet will protect the main amount of ectoplasm from all that light.
Okay.
It's a bit of double benefit.
And it does that because the ectoplasm has remained in the cabinet and where it's dark.
Yeah, so the majority, even when they're working with light, the majority will remain within within the cabinet, only producing what they want out of the cabinet.
And I would think it would protect you from the snapback too, wouldn't it? If the ectoplasm reacted, it was outside the cabinet, reacted badly to the light?
Not necessarily. For example, one of the main dangers is if you ever sit for a physical medium, so often in my seances, when they've produced ectoplasm, they'll ask someone to come and take my pulse. And my pulse is pretty much next to nothing when they've produced ectoplasm. And wow. What they say is that they have to reduce the heart rate to sometimes 3 to 8 beats a minute to produce ectoplasm.
Wow, I didn't know that. That's amazing.
When it recalls very quickly, it causes the body to come back very quickly, which creates friction in the body. And that's one of the reasons why it creates burns.
Oh, my goodness.
Thankfully, you don't get that with photoplasm.
No, I'd say photoplasm sounds like a nice modern innovation. Let's do more of that. This ectoplasm, which a lot of people have trouble, I think, understanding, and I do as well, it's a sort of almost like a filmy, gauzy material, isn't it? That then cloaks a spirit that has come into the room. How does that work?
Experiments in the past have shown that when a medium is producing ectoplasm, their body weight can drop up to 40 to 50% while the ectoplasm is in the room.
It's a weight loss method too. That sounds very. Maybe it's an extreme way to do it, though, isn't it? Wow.
So yeah, it is produced. It can be produced through any orifice, so any hole in the body. We have a very good transfiguration medium called Gordon, who actually produces it through his biceps, which you can see.
You mean through the pores of his skin and his biceps?
Any hole in the body, ectoplasm can produce through. And from that, it will then form into a mass, and then when spirit put their personalities into it, it will take the forms of the loved ones or the spirits coming through.
I don't remember who it was who said that they'd been able to watch this column of ectoplasm sort of start to grow from the floor, and then it turned into a person.
That's a very common way of it happening.
And so this person is a loved one of someone in the room, probably, and walks around, has a physical body, apparently it feels like a real physical body, right?
Even when you can feel it, it should feel physical. Often people say that ectoplasm feels like a moist rubber rather than physical skin, but it's very solid. Now, what you'll often find, especially when you look at the photos of the past, you'll often see that the spirits come out wearing long dresses or gowns, and that's because they don't actually fully materialize in the room. So they may be producing their upper body and face, but there have been cases in the past where spirit have allowed people to see under the skirts, under the dresses, and there are no legs.
There's no legs. That's common when people materialize, there's a vision of someone just outside of the medium situation. People will report seeing that more than 50% of spouses will see a vision of the departed loved one, that it's reported, and they nearly always are chest high or waist high at most. They don't have legs either. People
Don't
just
seem a lot
to mind.
More energy.
Yeah, I guess because it doesn't matter, right? They don't need the legs to move around, and it takes energy to produce, as you say, to produce the part that's there.
Yeah, so I suppose less is more sometimes.
Yes, yeah, in this case, but so it's nice that they sort of gave the illusion of more when they would have them wearing a dress or a cloak.
Yeah, and a lot of that is also not to scare the participants as well.
Do you sit like this for the public or in small groups that where people can come and participate with you?
Yeah, we do a lot of public seances now, a lot in Australia, Europe, things like that. We must have a public one probably at least once a week.
Oh, do you ever sleep? I don't know where you find the time to sleep. My word.
I'm a bit of a night owl. I don't need too much sleep.
I would say so. And so you started doing this and you got phenomenal almost from the beginning. And how has your ability progressed?
So from what I'm told, in our last seance, they now are starting to do a lot of work in white light.
So you're doing seances in light?
We start in the dark, but they'll introduce, we've got in the room, we have a white light, a red light, and a blue light. And we have these very bright luminous lights as well. So we start in the dark, but spirit, when the energy is built, will sometimes allow us to use the different lights.
That's great.
So I know apparently a lot we will have where they'll take the luminous balls and they'll produce this 7-foot guy out into the room and show everyone the full form. Apparently they've started using some white light now. In our last seance, in the bright blue light, they produced hands out of the cabinet, and I think the face as well. So it's getting there, slowly but surely.
I'll say it certainly is.
We've also got another...
You're not a witness, so you just have to rely on what people are telling you about what happened.
Pretty much, yeah.
We have to remember that. It's too bad. It's a show you don't get to participate in. And that's true of just about every physical medium, I think, that this is something which you just have to hear what happened when you were in trance.
Yeah, so, I mean, thankfully I've been able to see other fantastic physical mediums working, so... But I've never seen my own team.
We're excited about the fact that David Thompson is going to be in Scottsdale in September. He normally goes to Sarasota, and he's going to stop in Scottsdale on the way back at the Academy for Spiritual and Consciousness Studies conference called Life in the Afterlife, and he's the high point. I've never ever been with a physical medium, sat with one, or even known one. So this is an exciting thing. But do you ever come to the United States?
Would love to. I am due to be in Florida next year working.
Are you really? At the same time as Dave Thompson, or another time of the year?
I don't know. I don't know if he's there, but I'm working with one group in Florida next year. But yeah, if anyone wants to arrange, I'm happy to...
That sounds like a great thing. I would because as I say, Wendy and Victor sing your praises. They're just delighted to know you, and they say that you're really terrific at the healing part too, which is handy to know someone who can do that. If you've got an ache or a pain, who can help you with that?
So now in our seances, Abraham will sometimes actually physically materialize in the room and do the surgeries himself.
Now, what does he look like, this Abraham? Or you haven't seen him. Has he been described to you?
No. I mean, I have a photo of how he – I have a drawing of how he looks to me. And, you know, to me, he looks very – he looks like a very biblical character. Now, he has told me that's not how he looked in life. It's purely how my mind just interprets his energy. But, yeah, I hear a lot that he'll come through in seances and actually do the healings himself.
Wow. What are your aspirations Gary, where do you hope to go with this? I mean, you're a young person still, and this is an area where it takes a lot of time to develop skills that you already have. So where do you think you're going with it?
Well, the last couple of months, we've had a new communicator called Mrs. Barnaby working. Her job
is... I love the name, Mrs. Barnaby. How wonderful.
It's her pseudonym. She's known apparently to other circles, and because of egos and things like that, she's chose a different name for herself for now, which I think is fine. So her job is to bring through loved ones. So I've been able to hear her in the recordings, and she's very accurate. And, you know, we had one case where, is there a Jason here? Yeah, we've got your brother here called Shane. He died on this date. His birthday was this. Your birthday is this. The last thing he said to you was this. And then the spirit themselves will get a chance to then materialize in the room and interact with their loved one. So that I would like to progress more.
All right, let's really get a flavor of that. Someone has come to a seance and is sitting with a medium, and the medium said the control, Mrs. Barnaby, what a wonderful name, is saying, this is who I have, this is his birthday, this is your birthday, this is what he said to you last. This so that already that's more evidence that many mediums would give. Yep. And then he materializes in the room.
Yeah, so her job is to establish the connection. So she's giving these facts to basically connect with that loved one and build that link so that then the loved one can come through on that link.
So that the facts are not so much for the person in the room, they're to build the connection with the loved one?
It's more, yeah. So, for example, when loved ones are brought through other circles, sometimes you'll get a spirit child come through first and talk to a group, and their job is basically to relax everyone, because, you know, someone like Mrs. Barnaby or Abraham, they're used to working with the ectoplasm, whereas say your mum or dad, who's never been working with ectoplasm, they need a lot more energy, a lot more guidance. So Mrs. Barnaby's role will be to make sure that the link is the best possible, so that when that loved one comes through, that there isn't a struggle.
That is amazing. So your goal then is to maybe do more of these traditional seances in your little pup tent and bring wonderful evidential stuff. I mean, when people...
Yeah, I'd like to do a lot more work with Mrs. Barnaby, but also I want to work towards being able to do a full seance in white light, which we're getting towards.
That's the Holy Grail.
Yes,
because the one complaint that skeptics have made about physical mediumship is the problem that so many physical mediums need to sit in darkness and maybe with just some red light. And so if you are doing white light seances of this quality, there's no possible way anybody can deny what it is you're doing. There's just...
I'm sure someone would come up with something.
Well, that's true, but nobody would take it seriously. People would be too interested in what's going on in the room. That's wonderful, Gary. I so wish you well with that.
Thank you very much.
A great gift to the world that would be.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully we'll get there one day. It's getting there slowly but surely. And, you know, for a skeptic, yes, sadly, this is an industry where there are a lot of fakes. Same with the psychic surgery. There are a lot of fakes out there. But like I say to anyone, when you go to a seance, the rather than going in with, is this true or is it not? I always say to people, just go in and can you feel spirit? If you can feel spirit, don't worry. You know, it's if you can't feel any spirit, you can't feel any energy, then maybe start to worry. But, you know, regardless what you think, you should never break the rules, because you could be wrong and you could accidentally kill your medium.
Oh, yes. But I think many people are beginning to understand that physical mediumship is a real thing. There just are so few who sit in circles, or so few who are well known enough and vouched for enough that they can really, you know, give evidence of what it is they do. We need more of them, and which is another reason I so much wish you well, because it takes so much time to develop this skill. For most people, it doesn't seem to have had that problem for you, but for most
simple minds make great mediums.
Well, it's just remarkable and wonderful that it's happened for you so quickly. I'm so happy about that.
Thank you very much.
But is there anything you want people to know about what it is you do? I feel as if I'm sort of doing a lot of the talking. What would you like people to know about how it feels to be you and where you're going?
So with physical mediumship in general, the guidance I would give to anyone is really to evaluate, you know, if you want to develop physical mediumship, why? Because, you know, if I had a choice, if I wasn't doing what I was doing, given a choice, I think it'd be much better to be a circle member than the medium, because you get to experience everything. Yes, there's no risk. And, you know, when you do physical mediumship, I can feel rubbish for days afterwards.
It wears you out?
Yeah. So from the seance of the night, obviously they did work with light, which was great, but that left me really ill the next day. For the next 3 days, I felt quite ill because of it.
How did you do your 100 healings that week then? I mean, your schedule sounds staggering to me.
Yeah, I mean, you do need to pace yourself. And the biggest advice I give to people, too many people who are getting phenomena and getting the starts there, go public too quickly. And, you know, in this I'm a hypocrite. I went public before 3 years told me to go public.
But you're right about that. It to develop your skills in something so important is a process, and to short circuit the process isn't healthy for you or for what you might be able to do someday. So that's very wise.
Aside from that, you know, there's a lot out there. There's so much evidence out there as well. You know, just because you don't see it in the media doesn't mean it's not there. But, you know, there's so much documented evidence, and people should explore it for themselves, for others. You just need to find what's out there.
You're right. There are I don't think there's a single American that sits for the public. There are some, I'm told, that just do home circles, but they do not sit for the public. But I think within 10 years it'll be different. There'll be more people in the world in general who have developed these skills. You're sort of on the leading edge, I think. Because I keep hearing of others who are really making the effort, which was not the case 10 years ago.
Yeah. So, and, you know, back in Victorian times, people would sit because, you know, they didn't have TV. They didn't have
There was nothing else to do. You're right.
Exactly. It was sociable to sit for seances.
Right. And they would sit night after night in the dark. So mediums really could develop. That's exactly right.
And sometimes it was years before anything happened. But they give that dedication. Nowadays, people want everything yesterday.
That's right. It has to happen immediately.
And then the downside of that is then you let your mind become part of it because you want it to happen so much quicker. And so it taints what could be fantastic if you just give it time.
Yes.
Yes.
Someone told me it takes typically 7 years to develop a physical medium, 7 years of sitting in circles like a couple of days a week and really making the effort. Doesn't that seem excessive? Do you think it could take that long?
Nowadays, I think people are developing a lot more quicker. I'm seeing people get results much quicker than in the past. I think it wouldn't necessarily take that long, but you definitely want, I'd definitely be looking at a couple of years before you're ready to go public.
And you'd need to be committed to devote whatever time it would take. If you once start it, you have to understand this is a really, really big commitment and you'd need to devote the time to it. Well, I would love to see you in this country. Let's see if we can't make that happen. Because
that would be lovely.
Americans need to be more aware of what you're doing. And I'm so happy that you're doing making the effort to do things in light, because that has been the big holdback with this kind of evidence. And you know, you can blast right through that. That's wonderful.
Hopefully one day very soon.
I'm so glad you've come to be with us. Thank you so much. Of course, you are in Australia. I just love the fact that the world is so small. We can have little conversations around the kitchen table when you're in Australia and I'm in Austin. But thank you so much for being with us, Gary.
Absolute pleasure.
I should just say, this has been Seek Reality with Roberta Grimes. You are a powerful, eternal being. You never began. You never will end. And when you fully grasp all the implications of that fact, it's going to change everything in your life for the better. If you'd like to learn more of the amazing things we're learning about our One Reality, past episodes of Seek Reality are available for free on iTunes. And I should just add, too, that my books are The Fun of Dying. You all know this drill by now. And The Fun of Staying in Touch. And very shortly, I have another book coming out, which is called Liberating Jesus. We'll be talking about that soon. All my books are available through my website, robertagrimes.com, and, of course, on Amazon and in bookstores. Our guest next week is going to be my wonderful friend, Suzanne Wilson. Suzanne is a very gifted psychic medium, or spiritual medium, and I still am not clear on the difference. She has been talking with us. I've had her as a guest to talk about mediumship. But what we're going to be talking about next week is a really, like physical mediumship, is a new area of interest of mine, and that's our spirit guides. Each of us has at least one spirit guide, and it's time for all of us to come to know our guides and begin to understand the essential role they play in all our lives. This week, we've been speaking with the wonderful Gary Mannion. I hope you're enjoying joining me as I fill in my own knowledge in what is a breathtakingly enormous and exciting field of study. This is on the cutting edge of where we're going with understanding the afterlife. Frankly, figuring out what actually is going on is the most exciting hobby you could possibly have. And I hope you'll make my hobby your hobby. Together, we have the power to finally make sense of our one reality. The scientists aren't going to do it for us. Certainly, religion won't. But together, you and I can learn the truth, and then we can transform the world. Meanwhile, please enjoy and make the most of this coming week in our one reality, knowing that you are a powerful, eternal being, and you are infinitely loved.
You've been listening to Seek Reality with Roberta Grimes. Roberta blogs and answers questions at robertagrimes.com. Join us every week as we explore what the afterlife evidence and modern science combine to tell us is true about the one reality we all share. Knowing the truth changes everything.